What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door. Hello, everybody, and welcome to John Cena's final match presented by Minute Maid. Bring the juice. How are you, Wei?
Don't forget Riyadh season.
I mean, that's saved for the goodbye kiss at the end, right? The long kiss goodnight from John Cena.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
Just a wonderfully corporate send-off that we had tonight with...
Are you aware of these ticket prices? And are you aware that there were maybe one or two celebrities that were here? This was not a charity event, John.
No, it wasn't. But they certainly weren't being charitable toward... the chief content officer by the end of this, were they?
No, they were not. We could certainly debate the close of tonight's show and the decisions that were made, of course.
Let's talk about some of the positives, okay? This was a compact 2-hour, 18-minute show, complete with celebration at the end. Like, this match, had this been a normal Saturday night's main event minus the celebration, they still had this in at, like, the 2-hour mark, and then they went long with the post-match. How many... I would love to know the production plan over the last month for these John, like, how many John Cena video packages has this poor team had to construct? Like, do they have any more juice left from the Minute Maid squeeze? Like, they must be just John Cena'd out at this point. It's like, yeah, our time off is now.
I feel John Cena is probably John Cena'd out. I mean, judging by, like, I think his reaction towards me, maybe even like
when Paul pointed to that last video. I mean, John Cena is
one. Oh God,
he's fairly stoic in the best of times, but it was just like, oh, another one.
Yeah,
like we've had many tributes. Like we have a lot of licensed music to say goodbye to this man.
Well, it's a lot, but I mean, it's really for the audience. I mean, as much as I maybe Cena himself, you know, recognizes, hey, this is a lot of me.
This was all about sending that audience home happy at the end of the night.
Well, I mean, it was for a chance to, you know, like according to Cena, a chance for the audience to say goodbye to him. And I feel like they, I guess debatable depending on who you ask, but I felt like they tried to do that. Yeah.
Well, we're going to get into all of Saturday night's main event. Want to welcome. Welcome everyone joining us here on the Post Wrestling YouTube channel. You can find us many nights per week where we go live after Raw, after Dynamite, and after SmackDown live for our members at postwrestlingcafe.com. The version that you get on the cafe, not only live access, but also we run down the news of the day. We have a Q&A section at the end, and then the show review itself, we do make that available for everyone here on the YouTube channel. So hit subscribe. It's the absolute least you could do. We don't have Minute Maid backing us. We have no ties to Riyadh season. We're just two guys operating on the post-wrestling budget.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you guys for checking us out. Maybe if this happens to be one of the few wrestling events you might watch this particular year.
Well, we have the Capital One Arena as the site for tonight's Saturday night's main event show. They did do a 2-hour pre-show, which I did not see, but I guess the noteworthy appearance was Jesse Ventura making his way back into the WWE fold, where it almost felt like they have now taken the Jesse Ventura reaction to that last show he did, just healing on Damian Priest, and made that part of the act now. Like, he's running down Cena, stating, well, he's a 17-time champion. That means he lost it 17 times. Why would you brag about that? And then I guess they had him list his Mount Rushmore. Like, on John Cena's retirement match on a WWE show, who is on your Mount Rushmore? Do you think Cena made Jesse Ventura's Mount Rushmore? He did not. But Jesse made his own Mount Rushmore, so this seems to be the proper... What? What's that?
Which was what? His own Mount Rushmore, do you know?
Oh, I don't know. I think he said Hogan. Did he say Hogan? That would actually be funny if he had said Hogan. I don't have it in front of me right now. So please flood the timeline.
I mean, I feel like Jesse's instruction has always just been to, like, hey, like, kind of play up the heel thing. That's sort of what you kind of made your name on. And I, you know, like the fact that he no longer does like the play-by-play on the actual matches themselves, I kind of feel like maybe they feel like that certainly lost its appeal, if not maybe even derailed their storytelling. So this almost feels like more of an obligation to put him on something involving the show than anything.
That's what tonight kind of felt like. I mean, if you're on the pre-show for Peacock, I don't know if this thing is really if this thing needs to continue at this point, but that was the Jesse Ventura portion.
They signed him on for X amount of dates and running out that contract, I guess.
So the show begins and we get shots of many people in attendance. I mean, I didn't think that Johnny Gargano would be one of the first people we would see, but there he is chilling with Shawn Michaels, talking about their storytelling. Trish Stratus in the house. Kurt Angle. Man, dude, they showed... they put up a video earlier of them shooting Kurt Angle doing the walk in the back. And man, is this guy getting around, you know, he's feeling the effects of all, like he had like the double knee surgery. And I mean, it's he feels like a guy that worked an intense style, which he did.
Yeah.
Seeing him do a walk in the back.
Well, not to mention being an Olympian before the wrestling career. I mean, yeah.
This guy, he thrashed his body. That is one thing for sure. Mark Henry, John Bernthal was there.
Yeah, the Punisher.
Got some camera time here. And would it be the final John Cena match without an appearance, multiple appearances by Metro Boomin?
Of course, yes. They've relied upon their Rolodex of celebrities. Halliburton.
Travis Halliburton.
Yes.
Tyrese Halliburton. Yeah.
All these guys. Jelly Roll, I'm sure, got the invite. He was not live in attendance, but he did send a video. Mm-hmm.
So then we go to our first Cena video. This was going to be a tough task to be able to replicate what they did 24 hours ago to do a Cena celebration. We had...
Dude, I don't know if at some point they must have like felt... Like, they might have at one point legitimately thought, hey, like, we have so many videos, we can't possibly air them all on Saturday. Let's air half of these things on Friday. We could build Friday as a celebration of John Cena. And then maybe at some point they decided, you know what, let's just all save it for Saturday.
Well, they took the video on Friday and, like, Peyton and Eli Manning didn't make the cut for tonight. They did take Tom Brady's portion, but everyone else in that video last night... did not air, although I'm sure that video aired on the pre-show at some point. But I mean, we're splitting hairs. But you did get a 90-second John Cena tribute on Friday's show, which was built around one final celebration before the retirement.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So this is a video on the GOAT. The GOAT.
Yeah.
Great term. Written by Mark Kriegel. But Mark Kriegel was not going to be voicing this, no. Paul Levesque was going to voice this. About what it means to be the GOAT. So welcome everybody to tonight's show. No gate figure, but this was pretty much a very narrow difference. WrestleTick's last number was 19,176, and then they announced on the broadcast 19,232. So almost like we're almost like splitting hairs here within like less than 75 people in difference between those. So I'd be very curious if we ever do hear the gate number for this show, because I do believe this will. I mean, their big one was 4.8 million for the Intuit Dome earlier this year for the Netflix debut. And just the way tickets were priced for this event, like I could certainly see it in that range, if not beating the Intuit Dome show, just to exemplify like the demand for this show and where TKO smelled blood in the water.
Yeah, certainly. I think you would expect it, especially for something billed as big as this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we go to our host, Joe Tessitore and Stephanie McMahon, and Stephanie credited with saving John Cena's career when she overheard him rapping. And then our announcers for tonight, Michael Cole and Wade Barrett. So kicking things off, not John Cena, but instead Cody Rhodes against Obafemi. And the crowd is singing for Cody at the beginning. I don't know, wait, I kind of felt very similar to when Oba kind of has shown up on the main roster. Was I just don't feel like Obafemi is necessarily that NXT performer that has really crossed over to this audience, and felt like in comparison to Sol Ruka and Javon Evans, it just felt like Obafemi was, it was just like, this is Cody's opponent. We know he's the NXT champion, but that was kind of all that they really saw in Obafemi.
He hasn't made as many crossover appearances as either of the two. So I feel like this was very much maybe their effort to like shove him into that direction so that, you know, he's a bit more recognizable to a main roster audience. And, you know, the other two, like, you can argue can sort of like suffer losses a lot easier than somebody like an Obafemi, who, you know, really just should be positioned as a giant who doesn't take too many pins. Whereas a Sol Ruka and certainly a Jovan Evans, they feel that they could still beat and still, you know, value as an underdog.
So Obafemi is overpowering him in the beginning, and Cody is really selling the power of Oba, can't lift him for a slam. But then Oba runs his shoulder into the post, and he is power slammed by Cody. Cody hits a Cody cutter for two, but then is hit by a spine buster. And Michael Cole describes Obafemi as methodical. And I think that's one word that is, that should be eliminated.
It means slow.
Yes, that's not a, that's not a compliment in today's vernacular. So on the floor, there's a running uppercut sending Cody onto the desk. And somehow in all of this, Cody cuts his ear. And that's not a fun place to get cut. The ear.
No, I don't imagine so. No.
Fairly bloody here.
But it certainly added to the match.
Yeah, I mean, there were we did have the presence of blood here, probably accidental. And then we have the countdown graphic. Three matches until John Cena's final match. Avalanche Cody cutter for a two count. And then Drew McIntyre runs in, attacks Cody for the DQ at 9 minutes and 10 seconds. Oba yanks Drew off, shoves him down, and then Drew is hit with a Cody cutter and a choke slam by Obafemi. Cody then tosses Oba his title, and the two raise their arms and shake hands, which was kind of the theme of all three of the exhibition matches, as you would call them. I hated this finish on this show. I just thought that this was... You kind of outlined this as a possible way out of this match. And I just question, like, why did we book a match that we needed to find a way out of? Like, this to me almost felt like, why didn't we just hold off on Oba winning this belt and you just do Cody and Ricky Saints and you could do a finish, especially if Ricky was going to be losing the belt?
Because the point is to showcase Obafemi.
I didn't think this showcased him at all. I think this was totally forgettable. And this was just a conduit to Cody and Drew.
I disagree. I thought this was a successful way of showcasing Obafemi, telling the audience who this person is and that he is on not just an equal level to your world champion Cody Rhodes, but somebody who is on track to defeating him before the Drew McIntyre interference. First of all, I think even beyond just the booking of the match, we have to talk about just the performance. And I thought they presented like a pretty classic old school David Goliath type of match that like to me engaged this crowd pretty well from beginning to end. I thought Femi's offense looked good. I thought his technique looked clean. Striking and power looked heavy. The presence is there. And we got to see how he stacked up to Cody on the microphone last night. Now we got to see him, how he, you know, looked in ring next to a top guy like Cody. And you can argue that he looked even better or at least more comfortable. So I think he has the presence of a guy that you could immediately buy as a threat on the main roster if they chose to push him. You argue they should. Like, he shouldn't be somebody who's working his way up. He should be like a Brock Lesnar, somebody you push immediately, you know, like not the IC level, not the US title level, not the tag team level, but the world title level. And I thought like tonight showed that he's probably capable of receiving that spotlight. But, you know, the match was like pretty much like Obafemi dominating, you know, much of it. I mean, you know, unintentional as it may be, managed to draw blood from Cody. Cody, I thought, did a great job selling for Femi. Even after this posing, you know, with the two of them holding out each other's hands up, Cody immediately getting onto his knees to sell that he wasn't like, you know, in trouble or at least worse for wear compared to the person next to him. So I thought like that did a great job of telling everybody who Obafemi is and really kind of like establishing what his power level is off the bat.
If that's the case, then I really hope there's some kind of follow-up to this, because if there's not, I think this will be completely forgettable. I didn't think Oba, like, I didn't think he looked bad in this, but I wouldn't say, like, just comparing this to a week ago, I thought his match with Ricky Saints showed way more of a dynamic Obafemi in a big championship match. And to me, this was Like, my end focus of this was all on Drew at the end of this match. If they do something with Oba and Drew after this, if Drew shows up at NXT, if Cody has some link with Oba, great. But we'll see what happens.
I don't
here.
Think, I mean, this was just a, I think this was meant to be, as according to Cena's words in some of his interviews, this was meant to be a night of, like, according to him, exhibition. He even used the words non-canon at one point. I don't think that's...
Then if it's non-canon, I think you should have really been using this not to just do, like, to me, it was just such a flat ending to do on a show like this. And I think it really took the life out of this for me.
So you would have rather book, what, a Ricky Saints match that you could have Cody?
I would have rather, yes, Cody and Ricky Saints go out there. They have a hot 12, 13 minutes. Cody wins. Ricky Saints is,
but,
like...
But Saints isn't your project. Femi is your guy.
Well, then I was the one advocating, like, do something bold here and have Oba win this match.
But then where do you go afterwards?
Cody challenges and faces Oba later.
And who
What's
wins
wrong
that
with
one?
That? If we're who talking about one? Oba coming up to the main roster, what a great way to introduce this guy.
But between now and WrestleMania, when would you slot an Oba Femi Cody match?
Royal Rumble.
And have Cody beat Oba Femi?
Sure.
Why would you do that?
Because this guy gets the win here. This is his call up. And then you've created a
big
challenge for Cody.
He's not getting called up.
Okay, well, you're talking about this being a way to establish Oba Femi. Like, establish him for what?
To at least let people know who Oba Femi is, because a lot of people watching tonight don't know who he is.
All right, well.
You're arguing to take him all the way by beating the champion. And I don't think that's something that they want.
Well, I would be looking at Oba Femi. This guy has been on the NXT roster for years at this point. Like, what are we waiting for?
For a spot to open up for him. And you can argue between now and WrestleMania, there aren't those spots.
Okay, well, I still wouldn't. I just didn't like the finish of this. And I would have just, to me, it builds up Cody and Drew, which is not the most inspiring rematch at this point for Cody.
It's the main roster program that they are actively working on.
Cool. Well, we'll get that for another month or two.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold. Today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
We have more video messages from Kurt Angle, Bayley, Ray, Charlotte, Jey Uso, Stephanie, and CM Punk, who said that he wouldn't have been back here in WWE without John Cena. Tyrese Halliburton is shown in the crowd, as is Chuck Zito, who was shown. Didn't get any mic time for Chuck Zito. Bayley is accompanied by Lyra Valkyria, taking on Sol Ruka with Zarya. And so in the beginning here, we get Sol Ruka, who was showing off all her athletic spots here, does a headstand into a head scissors, then an X-Factor, and Bayley rolls to the floor. And there was this part where Bayley went to slide under the turnbuckle and couldn't quite get through, and goes to lift Ruka on her shoulders into the ring and falls over, and they kind of had to do a reset here. After those issues, though, I felt this was pretty smooth sailing. Sol Ruka hit this incredible space-flying tiger drop that hit perfectly, missed a springboard splash, and Bayley clotheslines her. There's a German out of the corner, and then Ruka does the cartwheel off the top turnbuckle into a DDT, the spot like Jake Atlas used to use, and then comes off the middle rope and is caught with a Bayley to belly. The rose plank gets countered, and it's Bayley with a sliding knee for a two count. Bayley yanks the leg out to stop a soul snatcher and goes for the rose plant, hits it, and Ruka's legs are caught up in the rope. So as Ruka sets up for an O'Connor roll, she's kicked into the corner, kicks up for the soul snatcher, hits it, and it's Bayley trying to roll out. She's dragged in and caught in a roll-up. Ruka reverses, catching Bayley in 9 minutes and 25 seconds. And What was interesting here was that despite Zarya and the angle, they did nothing in that direction. Lyra Valkyria and Zarya were non-factors in the match. They just did a straight-up match between these two and the surprise upset for Solt Ruka. And then, again, like all the matches, Bayley, you know, showed her respect, shook her hand, and all four stood in the center as Michael Cole really put over Solt Ruka here, stating she's going to be a megastar, and Ruka and Zarya hugged at the end.
Yeah, yeah. Counter to that first match, I mean, they did have the NXT talent go over in this one, and I forget what we said in our predictions, but maybe this one wasn't really something I was thinking about as much, and I don't know why. Like, Bayley, it makes sense to have her lose. Like, she's not somebody with an active championship. In fact, she has sort of a losing streak gimmick anyway. And when you look at these two, like, I think it's very clear, you know, just like judging by like the way Bayley's being booked, just judging by her extracurricular efforts, she is on her way to almost transitioning to becoming this sort of wrestler trainer role that somebody like a Natalya currently possesses. And Solt Ruka, on the other hand, is like, she in this match showed that she has the talent level to be a future WrestleMania main eventer if they, you know, play their cards right and if she manages to exceed expectations. I think looking at these two, the clear upside is on somebody like a Solt Ruka, who in this match performed incredibly, like on this big stage. I mean, this was a very pretty like complicated match with a lot of like, you know, fast moving, intricate sequences,
especially the closing sequence, like to get all that down. Like the Soul Snatcher is like, It's a spectacular move. So now they've upped the difficulty by having it in these complicated setups to do mm-hmm. it. So yeah. It's like, and if you mistime that spot, it looks brutal.
Yeah. And she has a pretty amazing track record of nailing this thing. And her opponents too. Of course, credit to the opponents for being in the right place. But like, tonight it looked great, you know, and I love the fact that they like kind of even played with our expectations in the finish by having Bayley eat the Soul Snatcher, but then immediately reversing it for the pin cover. At that point, I'm like, oh, okay, of course they're going to have the veteran win. Then they had Soul reverse it in order to win. So I thought that was like a great little way to play with our expectations, save for that one little blemish with that fireman's carry. I thought like this match was outstanding. You know,
that was really the only thing of this match that you could nitpick.
Even that was a chance to see how Solt Ruka would react when things don't go well. And I hate to bring it up again, but we have to contrast it to the Rhea Ripley Zelina match that took place last night, where things went off the rails and they continued, like they just devolved, you know, for the rest of the match. She picked things right back up and finished really strong to the point where you might not even remember that little blemish. So yeah. I'm sure that
I thought this
well
match, like I thought these two would have a very good match, but I thought it really overachieved. I thought Solt Ruka looked spectacular. Like for what this show was designed to be, I think Solt Ruka really did, like, stood out for these three exhibition matches in a big way.
Yeah, the lack of like Zarya stuff. I mean, the fact that like the announcers really made no effort to explain the relationship at all. Like there was one mention of them like breaking up and then getting back together, but like it wasn't the type of, you have to remember, most of the people watching the show, I think they are assuming, have never seen these guys before, or at least don't watch NXT regularly. And if they did execute the turn tonight, it probably would have been relatively flat. So I thought it was probably the right decision.
Yeah, and especially the way they were booking the first match to do something like that in the second match. I just feel like you didn't want this match, this show to be, this undercard of the, like, these showcases to be full of, you know, all these like angles that you're doing to get out of clean finishes. So anyway, it was a good kind of misdirection, I think, just having Zarya in this corner. And you were right what you said on Friday. Like, if you're going to do the turn, I think it would be much more impactful in front of your home audience that is going to be more on board with it than something like this. More messages. Everyone was contacted. We had Sheamus, RVD, Corey Graves, Becky Lynch, Michael Hayes, Stu, Michael Cole, Cody Rhodes, and then a whole video just dedicated to The Undertaker and The Rock. I would say like the only significant omission of someone that maybe you would have expected to have heard from would be Randy Orton in all of this. Like pretty much every other star from his history that is connected to the company was represented. Like even in that the video they showed with everyone doing the putting the signs up, like they got Brock to do something, who like never participates in that kind of stuff.
I guess Randy just hasn't been around.
He's on a trip in Saudi Arabia right now doing promotion and stuff like that, so it's like that's why he wasn't physically there. But I mean, Yeah, it was just, it was an interesting, like, to me, he was the only one that really stood out to me that you would have thought would have been in something here. We see a bunch of the legend show, and Eve Torres was here as well. Trish Stratus, they're sitting in the crowd. Sami Zayn was there with his son as well, smartly bringing noise canceling headphones.
Yeah, or just like
smart
earmuffs. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, especially for some of the chants later.
Oh yeah.
I thought this was like a nice spot that they thought to do that you wouldn't necessarily assume that they would even think to do. But Michael Cole spent like 30 seconds noting like some of the other broadcasters that helped call a lot of big Cena matches in the past, name dropping Taz, JBL, Corey Graves, Jim Ross, and Jerry Lawler as well.
Yeah, really, like really nice of them. I didn't think they had to do this.
No Matt Stryker.
Oh, well. Sure, they missed a few.
We could go through like, you know, the Todd Grishams. I mean, there's probably a lengthier
Jonathan
list.
Jonathan Coachman, why didn't he get a job?
Oh, here? You're right. Yeah.
No?
There were a few here that didn't quite make the cut, but these were the top ones they isolated. AJ Styles, Dragon Lee against Javon Evans and Leon Slater. So at what point is it worth bringing up the fact that Javon Evans and Leon Slater combined are 6 years younger than AJ Styles?
That's painful. It's painful for me to hear. I'm not even that old. But
listen, there's a. So this one starts off, and do you know how long this match was?
Felt fast. Felt quick. 10? Under 10?
Six and a half minutes they had.
Wow.
And based on how this started, you knew these guys were aware we have 6.5 minutes here because they just started and they did not stop for 6.5 minutes. Yeah. Evans immediately does his big dive over the top to AJ. Slater goes over the corner post and we get a near fall instantly with Evans hitting a frog splash onto Dragon Lee for a two count. Dragon Lee comes back with a Liger bomb and then it Styles in driving Evans into the barricade. Lee does his flying Rana over the top rope, sending Slater off the apron into position for a Styles clash on the floor.
Amazing.
And Evans is able to cut it off. I mean, if he had hit this on the floor, this place would have just gone nuts. Really cool setup here. OG Cutter is delivered to AJ and then the Swanton 450 by Slater, but the knees come down on AJ as Slater lands this. Lee makes the save. The crowd's pretty hot for this match and they're just going a million miles here. Topikon Hero by Lee lands on Evans, and then Slater signals for the Styles clash onto AJ, who counters it, tries for his own, and he ends up on the edge of the apron, and then he goes for the phenomenal forearm, and he slips and just crashes. And I just thought this was like a worse spot. Yeah. I thought it was too when I watched it. And then I replayed it, because the way this follows is that, first of all, if you watch closely, Slater like basically bumps as if the move was hit and then gets back up to his feet. And this didn't play into anything. So it was just like, if in fact this was just a mess up by AJ and they transitioned into this finish, this almost looked way too smooth to be a cover. That's where, but this just like, it played no. Like, AJ didn't even sell this. He got right up and was fine, and they went right to the finish with Slater coming off the top, was caught, and into the Styles clash in 6.5 minutes.
I had the same immediate reaction as you to the slip, thinking that, okay, it's just, like, especially with the way, like, Slater managed to capitalize, I just felt like, okay, like, maybe just a unique way of, like, building to a near fall. The fact that they didn't really do much beyond this to reference it in the finish definitely made you rethink it. At the same time, like, I wonder if it's the type of thing that they might reference the next day, like on Monday. You know, like, we are, like, on with talking about AJ Styles, like, you know, in his final year or approaching his final year.
Acknowledging he's losing a step.
Yeah, like, I wonder if this was an attempt to do that. But it could have also just been a legitimate slip. And if so, in either case, I think it's pretty cool because on the one hand, if it's a work, then it's a pretty unique way of like telling a story that I think, you know, will probably be interesting.
See, I think if that's the story you're doing,
yeah,
I think it really hits that home then for this to like cost him the match. And he's got to like, you know, it's non-title and it's like, you know, I was a step slow. I watched this over like, I would be somewhat surprised if this was a planned spot because it just played into nothing afterwards. And if so, like again, this recovery was amazing. What they ended up doing.
So that's the other thing. If it wasn't, and if it was just a legit slip, then a lot of credit goes to Leon Slater for the way he was able to, like, again, we talk about like the Silverooka Fireman's carry. Unfortunately, we have to talk about Rhea and Zelina again. The botches will happen no matter what, no matter how great you are. Your reaction to them, especially for one of these younger guys, says a whole lot about maybe your value and your ability to stay calm under stress to the office and really to the audience at large. And the fact Slater, if again this was legit, managed to capitalize instinctively like this, was fantastic.
And go back and watch Slater's reaction when he's thinking he's taking a phenomenal form, and then when the pin happens, AJ goes to Leon in the corner and he's like talking to him like alone in the corner. And then he just hugs this guy big time afterwards.
Awesome.
So this was a very, very interesting match. I couldn't believe they got as much as they could at a 6.5 minutes. I would love to have seen these guys. I really wish they had just gone with the idea we threw out. Like Javon and Leon could have won this match and it sets up a title match on TV. Cause I would love to see a rematch between these four. To me, Javon Evans is totally ready for the main roster at this point. And I was only disappointed at how little time that these four got. I didn't think they had enough time to be the match that a lot of us were expecting going in. But that said, this was fun for the time it lasted.
Yeah, I watched this and I was like, I could use 10 more minutes of this. And I don't say that too often about professional wrestling matches these days. Knowing that it only went 6 minutes, I mean, that kind of makes sense. They must have been rushed. I mean, you know,
these shows don't have a
set time, but they probably still have some sort of set time. Can you imagine if, Chris Park was doing this one? I'm sure, like, you know, freaking out in the back. So, I think Evans is ready. I thought Slater, though, actually came out of this one maybe even, like, with
he was highlighted more. Like, that was a really cool spot, teasing the Styles clash on AJ. Like,
yeah. I would call both of them up together as a tag team as a way to introduce.
Well, Slater's not technically their talent way.
Except he pretty much is, okay? Like, there's no, like, again.
Separate companies.
I mentioned this before. There are only four NXT talents that are getting this prime spotlight. You can argue the biggest spotlight of the entire year for an NXT talent. And he's one of them, okay? And the fact that he's a part of, like, the Iron Survivor and all of these other things, I feel like it's, like, he's sort of like a Joe Hendry. That's very inevitably coming in already, so. But yeah, I thought they would also play up the X Division sort of link between AJ and Slater a little bit more, being like, you know, the first X Division champion and the current one. But I mean, they didn't really. It's fine.
Are you ready for another Cena video? This time we had Tom Brady mixed in with Jimmy Kimmel, who told John Cena he can skip leg day and celebrate by having half a Skittle. Gabriel Iglesias, who had to do a whole routine for us. Jalen Brunson, Lil Yachty, Vanessa Hudgens, and Jelly Roll on the beach.
I thought Kimmel was probably the funniest one.
Kimmel had a good line here. I laughed at the half a Skittle joke that he made.
Fallon, like, put no effort into his. Like, and maybe he's just, like, maybe it's just not his thing, but, like, he put, like, his felt more like a chore. Like, I have to say something about John Cena. NBC, okay, I get it.
This would have been the video to go from Kimmel and then cut to Donald Trump in the arena.
Did not make it.
Trump was not there. The Miz then interrupts Stephanie and Tessitore. Did you catch how they did this when Stephanie was about to proclaim that the main event is going to be awesome, and then The Miz cuts her off by yelling awesome in the ring?
I really did not, but...
Someone really overthought this interruption. So The Miz is in the ring, and he is wearing his WrestleMania 27 gear that I'm really surprised isn't bronzed in his home and that he wakes up every morning looking at.
Oh, it could have been. He could have taken it out of the glass case for this occasion.
He says, "This tour should not have pretended he didn't exist when I'm a main character from Cena's history. Instead, it's focusing on new stars. I beat him at WrestleMania 27. So he is cut. He is interrupted by R-Truth way. We got Miz and R-Truth.
You somehow predicted this exact scene.
They were making this so...
Who told you, John?
This was just... They made this so abundant with The Miz. Like, the truth was more so a guess of them coming up with a segment. But I just felt they had made this thing with The Miz that I could not imagine the show without him on it.
If you had mentioned that they would be interrupted by Joe Hendry, I would have really been suspicious of you.
So we finally actually got a payoff to R-Truth's balls, because it turns out R-Truth watched SmackDown on demand. He tracked down a copy of the show and saw that The Miz switched the names, and he denied someone an opportunity in the tournament, and the name is Joe Hendry that The Miz reads. So Joe Hendry appears, and dude, this whole crowd sang along with his theme. They absolutely knew this guy, and Miz shuts off the music, and they continue to sing, and it's just Henry destroying The Miz with a fallaway slam, does the spin with R-Truth, a double five-knuckle shuffle, and then a standing ovation as Joe Hendry pins The Miz, and R-Truth counts three.
Yeah. So, like, man, just when I thought this whole Joe Hendry thing had run its course, I mean, this crowd still reacted, like, big to him, as if, like, he certainly bigger than, well, they reacted pretty well to Obafemi as well, but, like, they reacted probably biggest to Joe Hendry of any of the NXT guys. And I think it's a case where, like, in short spurts, like, I'm talking maybe, like, twice a year, you could probably do a Joe Hendry thing to, like, this sort of ovation. But once you start seeing it every single week, it really starts to wear thin. But for now, like, for people that might not regularly watch NXT, yeah, this still totally works.
He should have appeared with Thea Hale. I mean, let's get the whole NXT package together.
Could have. Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I were to tell you way back at WrestleMania when Randy Orton demolished this guy, that one of these two people are going to be prominently featured on John Cena's retirement show.
Yeah.
And the other will be not in, it will not exist on this night.
Mm.
Of course, you would have said, well, Joe Hendry must be getting a prominent spot on that final night.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But good for all three, I guess, getting some presence on the show, like Miz and Archer.
Listen, this was a show about trying to really make a focus on, you know, these talents that they clearly have on some kind of, you know, short list of who they see something in to give a showcase to on this show.
Yeah. But I think the continued trick with Hendry is to, like, can you evolve the gimmick? You know, can you add another dimension to it but beyond this?
Remains to be seen.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The next Saturday night's main event will be January 24th, which is a very busy night as UFC has its first pay-per-view on Paramount that night. And then, I swear to God, another Cena tribute video. This was the video to Sweet Disposition that they had put on YouTube earlier this week. And then Michael Cole says the immortal words. John Cena's final match is brought to you by Minute Maid. Bring the juice. I thought Hoovy was going to come out here. And Gunther makes his entrance. He is hated by this crowd. And out comes John Cena. Thunderous reaction. He comes out. He tries to take Stu's camera away from him.
Yeah, you could tell like production might have not been prepared for this because they didn't really like cut to the camera. And they kind of missed. Maybe.
Do you think this was John Cena going into business for himself again? And he immediately apologized afterwards and he will never do something like this again, like the AJ intro.
I guess I just wonder if Paul Levesque rehearsed this one with him beforehand. We'll find out soon enough, maybe.
You know, a couple rosaries here and there. So he comes out, he hops down to the floor, and there in the front row, what a who's who. Trish, Eve Torres, RVD, Elijah, Kurt Angle, Mark Henry, Booker T, Kevin Owens is there, Michelle McCool. And we get a hug between John Cena and Haku.
Yeah.
The only...
Why was Haku there? I guess he's got kids on the roster, but I mean, okay.
For this show? Like, he was just Haku?
Fuck, RFK is right there. You see in the right-hand side?
RFK. My God, I totally missed RFK was there. Wow. I
just noticed.
Well, he wasn't acknowledged by Cena, nor was Nick Khan.
Well,
Nick, who's like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
Wow, I totally missed RFK there. Good.
I didn't see him until now either. So, okay. Well, I hope, I'm sure he's helping out with the medical in the back.
The crowd is just going wild here. They're chanting asshole at Gunther. Fuck you, Gunther, which was it's not just Netflix. It's also Peacock that is not going to allow this. We get this bizarre censoring. And then you tapped out at Gunther as well. And it's Gunther in control at the beginning until Cena stops a chop and starts hitting shoulder tackles. This crowd, like John Cena could have just like thrown punches for 20 minutes and this crowd was going to be behind him. Like he didn't have to do anything, but he was going to, this man was wrestling with the idea that I am not wrestling another match ever again. So let's just bust everything out here. And he had a great opponent to do it. The AA gets stopped and he is hit with his first German and Cena's avoiding the sleeper, gets the STF. This crowd just, they're like, that's it. Game over. No, it's not. And he's kicked away, takes a power bomb, his first of several. And Gunther is telling the ref to ask if he's giving up. And he hits him with clothesline after clothesline after clothesline. The crowd starts chanting, Super Cena. Don't put this young punk over. And then he ducks a fifth clothesline and he comes back with shoulder tackles, proto bomb, and another five knuckle shuffle. Hits the AA. You knew it was not going to be over there. Gunther kicks out. Catches him in the sleeper. There was a reversal. Cena applies his own sleeper as they bring up the loss to Jey Uso and how this could be the Achilles heel for Gunther, but no, he is not. He breaks out, sends Cena into the steps. Gunther is mocking the crowd, doing Cena's mannerisms. And then on top of the steps, Gunther gets hit with an AA through the desk. The crowd goes wild for this. And then Cena, dialing it back, says, screw it. He goes for the top rope, guillotine leg drop. It's like, man,
Sicilian
this guy
slice.
Like, tore his hamstring on his last night.
I don't think he's done that like the entire run.
Oh,
right?
This match, this move was scary in his prime when he would do this move. So credit to the guy for at least wanting to do this. And he then yells to the crowd, this is the last one. So he gets everyone to yell, you can't see me, as he goes for a five knuckle shuffle and Gunther stops with a boot, power bomb. And then it's Gunther hit with a super AA. Gunther kicks out again, and he counters the AA into a powerbomb, hits the frog splash, and he applies the sleeper. And he goes to the mat, and this would be just forever. Cena is fighting this. He's trying to lift on to his shoulders, and Gunther holds on. Finally breaks it in the corner. Gunther reapplies the sleeper. He breaks it again, hits an AA. Gunther kicks out, pops up like he's back from the dead, and again reapplies the sleeper. And in the all-time greatest chant, don't give up, don't give up. I mean, if you were focused on like just the structure of this match, I would say by the midpoint, you knew how this was ending, just the way that they were going with this. And He's in this sleeper. And then they do the arms. I was like, this would actually be the most amazing finish if the arm went down. Mm-hmm. But it holds up at three.
Not only does he hold it up at three, he flashes the okay.
Yeah. I mean, in reality, if your arm goes down once, I mean, it's like you're out. Would that not be the case in modern combat?
This is not reality.
It's Cena combat. So Gunther annihilates him with the hammer and anvil elbows and puts the sleeper on for one final time. And there was a corny part of me that thought this guy was about to, because this just reminded me of Samoa Joe on Dynamite. I'm like, oh my God, is he going to fucking salute and go out cold? And thank God they did not do that. And he just tapped out. He almost had this like smirk on his face as he was tapping.
I was going to say, like, he didn't salute, but he did try to do some storytelling here by offering a smile, a very obvious smile, as he was tapping out.
So I couldn't tell if he was fully going for a smile or if he was just being contorted in this way. And I feel you were right that this was like the smile. The salute would have been all-time cringe-worthy, but yeah,
I mean, to some, this might have been kind of cringeworthy, but I find it interesting. Okay, he tried to end his career in a poetic way, which I'm grateful for. Did it work? Okay, like, what are we to interpret from a man smiling and the man who says never give up, the man who hasn't tapped out in 20 years, actually tapping out and giving up?
They should have done The Sopranos, and right before he taps, it just cuts to black, and that's the end of the show.
Oh, if this was on NBC, that it could have had that finish.
They went 23 minutes and 45 seconds here, and dude, this finish, whatever you want to interpret it for, and I will couch it with this, but this crowd was so angry at this finish. This was the last thing this crowd spent half of their life savings on tickets to go see. And I will say this, this probably would have been the same reaction had they beat Sting on his final night. And you can make a lot of arguments that for this crowd on this night, Cena should have won this match. I don't think you can fully judge this, because I think by Mania next year, this finish might look great in hindsight. Like, this was not for the night. This is for the future of Gunther. But these cutaways were chef's kiss. Okay,
fucking amazing.
These were amazing.
It.
And they
this
were
made the finish worth it. Okay, oh, I don't care what you guys think of
that. I will always love it. This guy will be in my dreams. Okay, oh, like, man. I will never forget this image of this poor guy who spent, I would guess, $250 on this attire that you would never leave the house wearing ever again in your life.
I think we're missing a few crying tears from children, but tears from adults, you know, crying adults, I think made it just as satisfying.
But this, like, this was vociferous anger. And the cutaway shots were amazing. And Michael Cole's line, tonight, professional wrestling destroyed sports entertainment. Yeah. Fuck you, Vince.
No, that's how I certainly read it. I mean, sports entertainment is a Vince McMahon coined term. And really, like, this matchup represents complete difference in philosophies between Paul and
kind of, this is Paul's guy and this is Vince's last guy. Yeah. Well, not his last guy, but a guy. Cody is kind of Vince's last guy. If you want to say of, like, you know, the guy you recruited, signed, and was ready to push was, I would consider Cody Vince's last project.
Sure. But for the better part of like 20 years, I mean, the last 20 years, it's Cena, right? You know, as Vince's guy. But yes. Very interesting line.
Very interesting
finish.
Line.
Yeah.
The whole crowd is Cena. Gunther gets out of there immediately. Like, he's gone. Cena just sits in the ring as everyone chants bullshit. And after a period, they're like, well, we're not taking it out on this guy. It's the way this match was booked that we hate. And it goes into thank you, Cena. And he takes a bow. I'm going to pause here because I do want to get some of your thoughts just on the match itself.
Well, I mean, I thought the finish, like, for all we might have predicted, even of, like, Gunther winning, I kind of felt the finish to be a bit shocking. Not in that, like, Cena lost, but the fact that he actually tapped. Like, I didn't think they would have him tap. I thought they could have him lose. I thought they could have him take a pinfall. I thought they could have him pass out to a submission. But to have Cena actually, like, actively give up is pretty interesting to me that they decided to do this. And again, I'm trying to think, like, what are we supposed to interpret from, like, this closing scene? John Cena smiling, actively tapping out, actively giving up, you know, like, he's talked a lot about, like, what is it, earning the sunset in these interviews. And I can only assume that that might be what like is supposed to be flashing through this character's eyes right now. Like what, like the fact that he's saying, I've done enough. I see the sunset while I'm in the sleeper hold with Gunther. I'm going to tap out. I suppose like,
you know, who got this? Sean. What? Sean was at ringside. He's like, I got it. Him and Gargano were like, totally. Oh my God, dude. Fucking
it's beautiful.
Cinema, bro. Cinema, bro. Fucking but like, aura.
What is the message here? Is it to say, hey, once you're near approaching 50 years old, it's okay to give up. Okay. Never give up until you're 48, then just like, it's over. Yeah. Like just give up. I guess I wonder why they went this way instead of actually just having a pass out, you know, finish, for instance. But I thought the match was awesome. I mean, it was a beautiful sort of like closing chapter.
It was the best version of a Cena match that we kind of got this year. It was, yeah. You were going to do like, I wouldn't even say like they overdid it on like there were, don't get me wrong, there were a ton of like the near fall kickouts, but nowhere to me it felt like at like the volume of like some of the bigger matches. Like they paced them and, you know, they gave enough to the crowd, but I would say by like the 15 minute mark,
how long was this, by the way?
It was 23:45. So they went a distance here, okay? And that's probably why a lot of this it felt like this undercard was there. Like there was nothing on this undercard that went 10 minutes. And I feel like they wanted all the time for this. And I don't think they wanted this show to be a marathon either.
Yeah. Like I thought it was, so again, I'm skipping the commercials, everybody, so I'm not really watching live, but I thought like the content was paced well according to interest.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was here for Cena, right?
Again, if you cut the celebration out, this is done at 2 hours. Like this was still like timed for a 2 hour show with like this bonus celebration that almost felt like a, you know, after the cameras stop rolling type of segment.
Yeah. But the atmosphere I thought was just
atmosphere
tremendous.
Was amazing as you would expect it to be. And yeah. I think that is what made it. Like there was no way that was going to let it down. Even if this had been like this awful match, like this crowd was going to be red hot for this match. They were, you got enough like hope spots with Cena, and I might be in the minority. Like I did not really mind this ending at the end of it. I think, listen, this crowd wanted Cena to win, and there's a strong argument that, you know, you they're thinking of the idea that there's a bigger moment that we will deliver when Gunther falls to somebody and someone's going to get that big win. But for this audience, John Cena was that big guy. And that was what they were here for. They're not here to see a bigger story down the road. They're here for John Cena because John Cena is never going to be back again. And you can see that. Like I argued that, you know, Sting, like it made a ton of sense for him to win that. And
I think that's why Sting's was so surprising, because I think Sting had everything against him. He was holding the championships on his way out. Maybe that's what, you know, made it work. But I contend that I think Sting could have won that one, because I don't think the Bucks gained that much from retiring Sting. Gunther gains a lot from retiring John Cena in this fashion. In the same,
he's now got
year.
The like the retirement streak. Like this guy should be AJ Styles' last match, I think.
Yeah, sure. And maybe Brock's last match, you know, a number of people's last match.
I mean, think Gunther and Brock after this. Like that feels like a massive match, and there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to want to see Brock in big plans for 2026, but he's going to be. He's just going to be.
But
and this is probably the biggest match that you can do with Brock next year.
The bigger question is, who beats Gunther? Because that is the next person. That's the person that, you know, they're really setting up here. It's not necessarily Gunther. They're lifting Gunther, of course, but it's the person that beats Gunther that is going to be elevated that much higher as a result. So, I mean, I like the finish. I thought it was like quite... unique and I almost feel like they could have gotten the same result just from Cena passing out, but to be able to claim that, you know, the first person to tap Cena out in 20 years to end his career, like that is a whole lot of value that you're giving Gunther. But I completely understand this crowd's disappointment too. Like again, a lot of the people that are watching tonight, like they're used to the good guy winning, especially in John Cena. You know, good guy always wins. So to see this reaction, I mean, they were reacting according to these cutaways as if it was like Taker losing the streak. It exactly represented that moment. And that sort of elevation that breaking the streak gave to Brock Lesnar, well, Gunther has his own version of that now. So I mean, I'm totally for the booking as much as it may have disappointed the crowd tonight.
Then we get the post-match, and this was something great. This felt like we were back in 2019 WWE Love Creative it. Because, listen, there is this fucking shot. This is going to go in the Hall of Fame, this photo. So this crowd, all 19,000 of them, They are not upset at John Cena. They're not even upset at Gunther. They are upset that we were, that they gave us that finish on this guy's final night. And we know who the guy is that ultimately signed off and crafted this. Mm-hmm. And this guy is going to come out in front of this arena, the balls. So out comes the consiglieres of WWE, led by Paul Levesque, joined by Stephanie, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Shawn Michaels, Bruce Pritchard, and The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. What a round table this would be for dinner. And this crowd is so angry at Paul Levesque. He is booed so loudly when he comes out, and he's right at the front of it, and they start chanting, "You fucked up," as Paul Levesque gets onto the apron, and he's just trying to no-sell this. Punk and Cody placed their belts onto Cena, who looked so confused as to what they were doing and did not seem like he wanted to do this at all.
Not at all. I don't know if it like could have been selling, but like, man, this guy did not want to do, like, not want to hold the belts. Certainly didn't want to pose with them and really had to kind of be pushed towards doing it.
Yeah, it felt very awkward. Like, this did not feel like a planned out set, like they were going to surprise him with this. And John really felt like, I am done and I just want to head out.
Didn't you see the finish? I smiled, I tapped out, I earned the sunset.
I think this guy wanted as subdued a post-match as possible. I think he wanted to sit in the ring, do the salute, and walk out, and that was it. I don't think he wanted any of this at the end. That's what it felt like watching it. So he's got to do, he almost just goes comical by doing the every corner and doing like the Daniel Bryan lifting up the belts over and over and over again. And finally, he just gives them back to Punk and
like
Cody.
This kind of ruined the vibe, if anything. I mean, like in Levesque's mind, I'm sure he designed all this. In Levesque's mind, it probably like looked great, but Cena was not really a willing participant. So it all ultimately felt a bit awkward, actually.
So Paul gets onto the apron. Again, they are so angry, and Paul's just got this grin on his face, like $5 million gate, fuck him. And then he points up to the rafters, and I kid you not, we've got another music video for John Cena. This time, folks, One Republic have been licensed out, and we get all these, this is from like all these old DVD interviews with his mother, his father, all these talents, the most noteworthy being Vince McMahon, showing on camera from an old interview from years ago, but the image of Vince McMahon was in fact included in this video, and it plays. They've got the John Cena reaction outside, like of his jaw, like being stretched. This guy did not show any movement, no emotion, nothing.
No, I thought he showed pretty. He was pretty emotional when Vince popped up. Like he definitely smiled. Like I thought there was some emotion. Yeah.
Okay. Well, more than I observed. It plays. He takes the bow, leaves his shoes and 5,000 wristbands on the mat. Kisses Riyadh Season.
Somebody chanted, "Leave the jorts."
There were a chance for the jorts.
He did not do.
Yes. He said goodbye to Riyadh Season one last time and salutes everyone at the front and says, "It's been a pleasure serving you all these years," and walks out.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe like the awkwardness of like the belt holding aside. Like I actually liked the video. I thought it was like a fitting sort of like. Maybe it would have been more effective if we didn't see already all the videos prior to it, but like to have like one final thing just to kind of like put a closing exclamation mark on this man's career, I thought was actually a really nice one. And the walkout solo with the salute, I thought like was really beautiful, and I think like a fitting sort of like cathartic end for the Cena career. I thought like this ultimately, you know, like when we're encapsulating the entire year, this is a really strong retirement for a professional wrestler. And I don't think most will ever get this sort of thing.
This but is like, the most financially successful retirement run in wrestling history. Mm-hmm. I mean, they built the whole year around this to peak for this night. And the idea that we're going to get something out of this for the new year with Gunther. And I mean, this was like the most bells and whistles they have attached to any retirement. I would include Ric Flair, which for Ric Flair's retirement, everyone remembers the match and the Raw the next night after. That whole run from November up until the go-home Raw it is hardly like a great handling of the final months of Ric Flair's career. And then boom, it's like the go home promo hits. The match is, that's when everyone realizes this is probably and is his last match. And then you get that incredible ceremony on Raw. But this, you know, they, the heel turn is going to be part of this final run. And just, you know, they did make the pivot in not the smoothest of forms, but it got him into the position that you got the final run up. And ultimately, that's what's going to be remembered, is the end run and the, this final show, which, much like the term, we did not get Travis Scott on the show either. Wouldn't that have been a great end?
You know,
like
what?
The final moment, Travis Scott comes out right at the end of this.
Maybe we save that for the Hall of Fame induction, which could be this year.
Yes.
Next year. So, sorry. 2026. I mean,
yes. And so ended this, this 2 hour, 18 minute celebration of John Cena, which, a lot to take in if you were that performer.
So yeah,
I would feel uncomfortable at that level of focus.
Oh,
I think there is I do have reservations for the person that just wants to disappear one day and you never hear from them again, and there's no pomp and circumstance for them.
The thing is, though, like this is not a man who I think like necessarily minds being the embarrassed if it's for the benefit of the company. Okay, every shirt this guy sells, you can argue, is embarrassing and not something an adult should wear, but he'll gladly sell it. He'll gladly wear it in every appearance because he's helping this company. And you know what? He's helping a lot of children, like, have a hero. So as cringeworthy as maybe some of these moments might be, I mean, I'm sure he ultimately is happy to do what's asked of him.
All right, well, there you go. That is the show. And
I really like the NXT like showcases. And in fact, I really hope that like for Saturday night main events in the future, this becomes an annual tradition, because I thought it was like valuable, in my opinion.
It is a chance to do some fresh matches every now and then that you can use this for, you know, some of your talent that come up. It's going to be very interesting to see how they pace everything for the next month, because you've got that first week of the year, you're doing that big Barclays Center show. That's the same week as, so sorry, January 2nd is the first 3 hour SmackDown. That Monday is the Barclays Center show. And then after that, you've got Saturday night's main event, which is January 24th, 1 week before the Royal Rumble. So that's a very busy month for WWE. And on top of that, all these 3 hour SmackDowns that will be going down on Fridays. So they'll have plenty of time, Way. They could make room for an Obafemi if they really wanted to create a spot for him.
This would really just call up the entire NXT roster, really. SmackDown could certainly use it. So we have a lot of feedback to the show, as one would expect, from our Post Wrestling Cafe patrons. So again, one last push for many of you guys who may be just checking this out for the first time. We are primarily driven by our Patreon, the Post Wrestling Cafe. PostWrestlingCafe.com is where you can get extended editions, ad-free editions of shows like this one, but extended editions of our Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown reviews Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, and also a complete slew of bonus content like Rewind Away, where we just covered Survivor Series 1991, the WWE Draft 2002 coming right up as well, and John and David Bixon's band releasing their review of Video Killed the Radio Star, which is a very interesting documentary about the Bubba the Love Sponge Hulk Hogan sex tape controversy, plus the entire archive. Access it all, $6 a month at postwrestlingcafe.com.
That's right. Later this week, we're going back to 2002, just months before John Cena's call-up to the main roster with the draft from March of 2002. So look forward to that. PostWrestlingCafe.com. December on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we have two editions of Rewind Away set for you, including a patron's pick where you have voted for us to review the Survivor Series from 1991, Hulk Hogan's Gravest Challenge. Then it's over to 2002 and a review of the very first WWE draft involving Raw and SmackDown as they kick off the brand extension. David Bixenspan is going to join me as we review Video Killed the Radio Star, a documentary on Bubba the Love Sponge and the sex tape involving Hulk Hogan. Plus, we will have reviews of TNA Final Resolution, New Japan's World Tag League Final, Collision Course every single week, and XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Sign up now at postwrestlingcafe.com. We are going to start things off at forum.postwrestling.com Jurassic Park fan, a pretty decent 6 out of 10 show with a largely forgettable opening match with a predictably poor, cowardly, pathetic finish that puts no one over. Second match was good, but also having an overdone roll-up finish. Tag match was high energy, but felt abrupt. Cena and Gunther with Cena tapping was pretty slow with the moves and cadence you'd expect, but nonetheless, good work from both men, with crowd support and commentary really making this engaging. The post-match video on wrestlers' legends standing around with Cena proudly walking out to no music was nice, almost makes you forget about WWE's scandals, cover-ups, and MAGA affiliations and whatnot. Although I was somewhat surprised Paul Levesque was booed and Vince shown in the video. I think the longest they've shown him in a video package. I guess they're slowly prepping for his return and likely Hall of Fame induction in the next 12 to 24 months. He asks us, does John Cena make either of your Mount Rushmore of wrestlers? Cody versus Drew, settled in an I Quit, Hell in a Cell, Last Man Standing, or something else? I don't have a Mount Rushmore of...
Based on what metric?
Yeah.
Like, best in ring, best draw? I mean, it's pro wrestlers? It's different for everybody. And, like, if you're talking about... effect, like, what does that even mean? You know, it'd be a bit more specific about the Mount Rushmore, maybe I can give you an answer.
What do you see Cody and Drew, how much do they extend this? Does this go all the way to Rumble, or do you feel they do the match beforehand?
I think
it's a long time to Rumble.
I think beforehand. I just don't think it has the legs. Could this be
on that first 3-hour SmackDown, for instance?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm guessing cage, like steel cage. They could do I Quit, Last Man Standing, one of these things. Hell in a Cell feels like it's almost like too important of a gimmick, especially like with Drew attached, with Cody attached even, you know, for them to like give it away for a feud that I think is, to me, kind of stale at this point.
I mean, you do have to do something with Cody for the Rumble as well. This just feels like that's way too long to hold off to the end of January for Drew. Like, I would aim for, like, perhaps January 2nd. Like, that's still 3 weeks away, and that feels like a good timeline to get toward that. You're up.
Let's go to Dave, who says, Cena's final run will most likely be remembered more for how poorly his heel run went, but it's hard to argue that the turn itself in a vacuum isn't up there with Hogan and Austin. I would have liked to see the NXT talent showcased a little more. It all felt very rushed to get to the main event. Showing archive footage of Vince was better than the alternative of having him show up. I'm sad it's over, sad Cena went out submitting, but I understand why it happened. 4 out of 10 for me.
I really don't think Vince would have got all that negative of a reaction if he had been showing just at ringside or something like that. I don't think they were going to do that, but if they did, I don't think that this, like, quite frankly, like, this is an audience that probably would get much more upset about the booking of a finish than had Vince McMahon been there at ringside. And I'll also say this for anyone that, like, is going to be at all negative about any crowd reactions: when these crowds are paying this level of money, they can boo whatever they want. So I don't want to hear any complaints about the fans and their reactions for that finish afterwards, because you know there will be a contingent of people complaining that the crowd didn't react the right way when Paul Levesque came out. Matt writes, longtime listener, first time review lever. Well, thank you, Matt. I thought it was a solid show with an amazing, energetic crowd for the whole thing. Disappointing finish to the opening match. Obafemi looked great and will fit right into the main roster when they decide to call him up. Thank goodness the rest of the card was high energy, because that finish killed the crowd for a few minutes. Sol Ruka is going to be a megastar after that performance. Tag match managed to put over all four men. Cena and Gunther was everything I expected. Cody working hurt? Well, I'm certainly not one to criticize anyone's body, but he doesn't quite look like the chiseled physique he had months ago. He almost looks small.
I didn't notice personally.
I wouldn't say it didn't stand out to me in like a significant way.
He worked War Games. So what would that have been, his last match?
Yeah, that would have been his last match. Okay.
I didn't see enough to be able to say. Let's go to Chris, who says, the thing I was most struck by was how the Cena-Gunther match had a big match feel. Not like the Cody Reigns matches of recent years, but a truly big final fight. There would be no interference or stipulations, just a good match where the outcome was truly in question. I hope WWE can create more stories that culminate in a straight-up match with the audience, where that the audience is invested in without overbooking. Such a fun night of wrestling.
I mean, it can be done. It's not impossible to do matches without run-ins and DQs or getting out of finishes. It is possible. Andy B. writes, the submission drama and Cena Gunther ventured into pro wrestling magic for me. Perfect finish. A pity wrestling's at a point where the heat will go to the booker instead of the heel. The cutaways to the crowd and the professional wrestling destroyed sports entertainment line were awesome. What would you guys do with Gunther coming out of this? I mean, that's a good question of how you position him.
Cody.
Honestly, like I think that you can really run. First of all, I would have him on Monday just like gloating. Like I think you'll have like a legitimate like backlash towards Gunther for this kind of finish that you should milk for all it's worth. And then it's he's kind of an interesting character for like Rumble season of how you set him up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if not for Cody being world champion right now on the same show that he's on, again, assuming that the brand split actually matters. I mean, they did like...
Hold up. Is Gunther... What brand is Gunther on?
He's SmackDown.
On? Is he SmackDown? Okay. I really have no idea.
Is he? Showed up on Raw.
You could not possibly tell me what brand
I feel like
this guy's on.
They moved him like deliberately on SmackDown, didn't they? I don't even know. I guess it doesn't matter. But I was going to suggest, like, I mean, his immediate next act should be to, like, go for the world championship. And if not for the fact that it's helped by Cody, who seems to have a lot waiting for him already, like, heading to Mania season, whether it be, like, Reigns or, like, you know, one of these other guys, I would almost suggest, like, Gunther, like, winning the championship at Rumble and taking it to Mania. But I don't know if, like, Cody will be holding on to the belt until then. Because so then... Punk is on the other side. And who's Punk currently working? Like Breaker and Punk kinda is tied up too with like the Vision and his stories heading into Mania. So don't know where that leaves Gunther, but he needs to be a presence. He needs to be completely dominant. However they can push him that way.
Yeah. It's an interesting question of like what the timeline is for AJ Styles.
Yeah. Okay. So you mean like just like head towards that already? Like have Gunther.
I think you want to do that
career.
At some point. What, like, I'm just thinking of like if you know if this guy's retiring, like by Mania, is he going longer? Like, what is the timeline? And and that kind of dictates things. But I do feel like Gunther and Brock is your big match. Like whenever you want to get to that, it's like here are the two guys that really like were the ones that annihilated Cena. Along with Dominic. I mean, they all have like a win over Cena during the final wins over John Cena.
Well, thank you, chat room. Everybody's telling me Gunther is a Raw wrestler, okay? So remember that next time he shows up on SmackDown.
How could you forget?
I don't know how. But that, to me, like might spell, okay, whatever's happening with Seth Rollins, who knows? But like Seth will probably go after the Vision, all right? That would mean you hold off on Braun Breaker winning the championship. That leaves Punk with the championship heading to Mania with Gunther. Gunther could win the Rumble, face Punk, take the belt from him, and then head towards SummerSlam with Brock.
So, to SummerSlam, you're saying with Brock?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's possible.
Maybe. All right, let's go up next to Jesse. I don't get why the crowd booed Triple H after Cena's final match.
Because they hated the finish. They wanted John Cena to win. That's as simple as it is. It's very, very simple to understand why they were upset with that finish, and the guy who is the head of creative came out and... could not have been happier as he was out there. And we should mention, I have not seen the post show, but I guess they now do the post show in like outdoors in front of all the fans. And they continue just booing Paul Levesque. And he was, you know, trying to, I thought it'd be a lot louder than this, but I haven't seen any more than that. But I mean, the booing certainly continued with Paul Levesque on the post show afterwards. It'll be interesting if this is kind of like the fans looking at this as like some, you know, some sort of negative viewpoint of Paul Levesque that he booked John Cena's retirement.
It is honestly like, could we say the most vocal anti-crowd, anti-Levesque reaction we've had since Vince's exit?
We've never had a reaction like that to, like, I can't think of a booking reaction quite like this under Paul Levesque's role. At this point, like even if you would want to say like Cody losing to Roman the first year at WrestleMania, like that was 2023. Vince is still in the picture at that point. And I wouldn't say it was like a reaction, like at least in the immediate such as this, this just a one night reaction? Possible to, but like certainly like Paul Levesque kind of wore this one, and it was It was an interesting choice having him like come out, and all of their anger was they had a target to place all their anger on, and it was Paul Levesque.
I mean, I wonder if he was expecting it, and I wonder if he was surprised by it. But I also think, like, I don't think it'll stick with him the way it might stick with Vince. Now, it does really underscore, I think, a year of, like, some, you know, certainly rising negativity towards the company, whether it be based off of, like, their ticket pricing or just, like, whatever else, like, unsatisfying creative.
You could argue this is a crowd that was, like, among the highest ticketed prices of any show. Right. Like, the amount that some of these people in that arena would have spent for these tickets is mind-blowing.
And for them, like, maybe they're pissed off because, you know, they wanted to see a complete
story. They all came to celebrate John Cena. Like, it's very, like, this should not be a stunning reaction. Like, if you're going to do a heat angle, expect heat. And in this day and age, like, as was mentioned here, like, it is going to be, like, a booking decision. It's going to be, there's going to be a lot of heat on the company more so than the performer. Like, that's just where we are in today's day and age. But, like, this is a bold booking decision. And I'm not even saying it was the wrong decision. But you do have to understand, like, this was a reaction that you had to be expecting. Like, I can't be stunned by this.
But let's argue, like, even if you're the type of fan who recognizes why they decided to do this, you know, for the benefit of Gunther, for the benefit of a future superstar, I think you still have a right to be pissed off.
Of course. You can react. You're there for this show on this night, and this is what you wanted. You're totally within your rights to shit on a booking decision.
Because if you're paying that amount of money, you want to see the complete story. You want to see the finale. You want to see, you know, Endgame. You don't want to see the beginning of the next story, which this, I think, very much is supposed to be.
Yeah, you're here for this show. You're not thinking 6 months down the road. You're not a shareholder. You're not Paul Levesque. Like, you are, like, again, I have no issue of a fan that's, like, upset about this. And there's a lot of them. So fair enough. Let's go to Drew. I only keep up through post at this point. Haven't been able to enjoy wrestling the way I used to in a long time, but especially after the recent Vince lawsuit. But alas, hard to throw away all the time I've spent on this weird world. So I went to watch John Cena's final match at the... in West Seattle. It was rad. Here's a photo. I wore all black. Go mourn the end and make something to honor as I tap out on wrestling. Here are some haikus I wrote during each match, except for the tag. Oh my goodness. Okay, well, let's just go to, we'll read the final two, okay? Sol Ruka versus Bailey. Artists, athletes rise. Rope freedom. Riyadh season. State-sponsored bar claps. Cena versus Gunther, proving goodness draws, satisfying sequences, DC fascism. All right. This man sounds like he had a wonderful time. This guy is the guy you want to sit next to at the bar.
Sounded like he might have stuck around at the bar for quite a while, even after the show.
Yes. Thank you for submitting feedback afterwards. We always welcome poetry.
Thank you, Drew. Awesome. Hope you had a good time. Let's go to Robbie from London, Ontario, who says, well, for one of my couple times a year watching WWE, this was okay. After watching Cena for so many years and being a fan of Gunther, it was an enjoyable enough main event. Although post-match, I found the card a little annoying. The rest of the card, Oban Cody was going along well until the lousy finish. Sol got her big win and what I thought was an absolutely great tag team match. Hopefully AJ pinning Slater will lead to a next division title match. Fingers crossed. Solid B show. Okay. Is that possible, John?
I don't see that match happening in TNA. But it's like you did pin the champion there. I don't know. Logically, that should lead to such a match. But
if AJ was going to make an NXT appearance, I mean, that's the match that I think you want.
TNA appearance. Yeah. Well, I mean, between like the AMC debut and Genesis, like there's no shortage of like a need. Like if you wanted that AJ Styles match, and especially like with this retirement, like would they grant him one match in TNA before that run is up? Like that seems like a layup, but it does require them to give the go ahead. And you would probably say like Leon Slater would be probably at the top of that list of TNA matches to do with him.
Well, he pinned him. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's the direction if you were to go that way. And the last one is from Tyler Crane. I just wanted to leave my thoughts on the main event. I really enjoyed it. Cena's final entrance actually got me a little bit emotional and made for a big fight feel. I liked the match and thought Gunther was the perfect choice, and I agree with the ending. It actually brought a smile to my face watching Cena smile as he tapped out. I guess I shouldn't be shocked that the people see the people complain saying it's a downer and a bad ending. But I think either way, there would have been complaints. But I thought it was the right call. And finally, as a guy who didn't like Cena a ton at first, I've grown to appreciate him as the special one-of-a-kind talent that he is. He will be missed.
Yep, one of a kind is definitely a way you could describe him, you know, after the, especially recent month, but like the year we've had, pretty much immersed, not just in this man's sort of like in-ring activity, but his interviews and his philosophies. Yeah, one of a kind would be certainly.
Will he maintain the Twitter account?
I would think
Will he continue the Steve Austin memes on Instagram? These are all the questions. Oh, I mean, does everything end after tonight?
Maybe we will
find out Sunday. With his post wrap-up interview with Tom Rinaldi.
Oh, he's doing that? Okay.
He's doing that on Sunday, apparently.
Oh,
he's
wow.
He's doing a post-match wrap-up interview with Tom Rinaldi sometime on Sunday. So
oh, wow.
I
cool.
assume that's going to be released in the next 24 hours or something like that.
That's the retirement. Like him retiring from social media will be me that looking
be
like
awesome
one of these shocked
fans. Deleted
his
social media on his phone right there on camera. Yeah. And just
I'd be like one of these fans.
Yeah.
Shocked.
Yes. And he'll philosophically explain tonight's match. It's like, I love those boos. What are boos?
What is the meaning behind those boos? Well, we ask.
Who cares about what if? All right, everybody. That's the end of John Cena's career. It's done. It's over. And so is this show. We thank everyone for joining us here late on a Saturday night. Again, you can always find us postwrestlingcafe.com and here. Bookmark YouTube.com/postwrestling for Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown. And keep up with everything at forum.postwrestling.com. We are counting down to our annual Christmas show, and that means our annual Christmas jingle contest. Go to forum.postwrestling.com. There's a thread there to submit your Christmas jingles before Monday, December 22nd, and we will be releasing our Christmas show in a couple of weeks. So you can look forward to that, and we'll be speaking with you Monday after Raw.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.